David Sedaris is a writer who reflects on his own life with such wit that my younger sister, Andrea, can no longer read him when she is riding public transportation because a couple of things end up happening. She ends up laughing so loud that she draws unwanted attention to herself, and then she has missed her stop on more than one occasion. And the bit that really gets me from this writer, always gets me rolling, is the one where he has moved to Paris, France, and so he's taking beginning French lessons. And he's the only American that's in the class, and it's filled with people from around the world, just to name a few, Morocco and Poland, Russia and Italy. So the day's lesson involves describing major holidays, and Easter has just been put on the table. Now remember, they're not describing it in their native language. They're using rudimentary, their beginning French to describe Easter. And a woman from Morocco raises her hand and she says to the teacher and to the class, "What's an Easter?" And I will play you this clip now.
"It is," said one, "a party for the little boy of God who called himself Jesus and..."
If you're interested in hearing this whole bit, you can Google Jesus Shaves and look for David Sedaris' name attached to it. And, oh my. Well, it's funny because it's true, right? What's an Easter? So given the breadth and depth of your grasp of your own language, the English language, how do you describe Easter to someone who doesn't know? If you were faced with this challenge and didn't have to use beginning French, but instead all the English nouns and verbs, how would you describe to someone what is an Easter? And maybe it sounds an awful lot like them. Well, we buy ham and we go to mom's house and we have an Easter egg hunt with eggs, you know, brought by the rabbit of Easter, right? But in light of our own stumbling efforts to wrap our mouths around the vocabulary of this day, let's look to Mary for help. Mary, whose words you spoke today. And as our laughter fades, all we can hear is Mary weeping. What do we do with a woman who has taken the message of Jesus so seriously that all she can do is weep and stay at his tomb? Now, as we read, she had gone to the tomb early in the morning before the sun had risen, and she found the stone rolled away. And did you notice? She didn't look in the tomb before she ran to get help, before she ran to tell the other disciples. On her way back to tell them, she simply assumes the worst. The body is gone. Someone has stolen it. The only thing that she's actually seen is that the stone has been rolled away. So she goes for help, and two of the disciples have a running race to the tomb, one outrunning the other. They assess the situation, nothing to see here, and off they go, leaving Mary behind, weeping at the tomb. This is now the time when she finally stoops down to look in the tomb, her own self, and she sees two angels that she doesn't remark about, just two angels, and they say, "Why are you weeping?" And then she turns around and she sees someone who she thinks must be the gardener, and he asks her, "Why are you weeping?" She is in deep grief, standing outside this tomb that held Jesus, weeping. Give her some space. I mean, it's only been a couple of hours. She's being peppered. "Why are you weeping? Why are you weeping?" Now, this is when we think maybe the April Fool's joke appears, right? This is when Jesus shows up, and he does, right? But this is where we might think, did this really happen? Those of us that grapple with faith might stop at this moment and say, really? Did this happen? Those outside the church might say, well, it's a nice comforting story, but does it really matter? Did it really happen? So I ask you today, on Easter Sunday, what's an Easter? Now, the Easter story is central to who we are. It's foundational. Without the resurrection, we ain't got a story to tell, folks. But more often than not, this is not the story we're known for. This story of love and grace and forgiveness. The story of new life again and again and again. We are often not known for that. So often the Christian story gets co-opted as a story for winners, for people who are very, very successful. Or our story gets co-opted for one that has all the answers. Therefore, it must cross out any notion of suffering or bad days. Are we known for this Easter story? Are we known for this good news? Now, these conflicting notions of faith and of church and of life make me laugh and they make me cry. Because we have the best story to tell, and I'm not sure we're able to tell it or tell it well. Yet it's a story, this is the irony, is it's a story of the world we live in. It reflects this story of Christianity, this story of Scripture. It reflects the ordinariness, the mundaneness of our lives. It reflects the bad days and the hard days. The Thursday and Friday of Holy Week are all about our daily lives, if you think about it. On Thursday, we learn how to love and serve one another with the looming threat of Friday in the background. Because on Good Friday, that's death and darkness, right? So we're trying to do our best work at home and in our community, at our jobs, while juggling stress and illness and debt and divorce and depression and anxiety and violence and, you know, life. It's our Christian story. Thursday and Friday and Sunday. Easter Sunday. So we get to this day and we say, what's an Easter? And we are ready to joyfully laugh, and yet we are on the verge of weeping, because Thursday and Friday and Saturday and Sunday are all right next to each other. What has Easter Sunday changed? Right? It's not like your stress and your illness and the juggling of all the things of Thursday and Friday and Saturday are gone today. They're still part of your reality. I got this message from Jenny Tillman after our Monday Thursday service. Now, just in case you're not aware what a Monday-Thursday service is about, Monday is a fancy word for mandate, so it's a rule. It's a, Jesus gives the most important rule to love one another and serve one another. So at this Monday-Thursday service, we have a washing of feet. That's what Jesus does to show his love. He puts himself in his place as a servant to his disciples, right? Shows what service looks like. So at our Monday-Thursday service on Thursday, we do foot washing, but we also offer hand washing, because if we're not paying for a mani or a pedi, we get funny about our feet, right? Yeah. So Jenny is reflecting on her experience of watching a mom wash her teenager's hands, being afraid all the while that she would sob. And then, do you see how her message ends? L-O-L. Laugh out loud. Do you see how close our laughter is to our weeping? Do you see how close Good Friday is to Easter Sunday? They're just a breath apart. It's like they're part of the same life. Why are you weeping? What's an Easter? Now, it's no joke, even though it's April Fool's Day, it's no joke that Jesus went to the cross, dying the death of a loser, put to death, not by an angry, bloodthirsty God to teach us a lesson, but by a bloodthirsty people who had been stirred up by top government officials and religious leaders to keep things as they are. Man, this story is how old? It's then and it's now, isn't it? It's enough to make you laugh or cry. It's no joke that Jesus came back from the dead. Resurrection is why we are Christian. Resurrection is why we even have a story to tell. We are sent away from the tomb by Jesus himself, calling us by name, knowing us fully, and sending us out to live into hope and to laugh and to cry about this victory that we know through Jesus. This victory that doesn't look like strength and military parades and power and might that we know in this world. This victory looks like collecting stuff for people who call the space under bridge overpasses their home. Like all the things serving as our flowers, right, beneath the cross that we've accumulated for Operation Hope. That's what victory looks like. This victory that we know in Jesus, this resurrection that we know, it looks like dragging yourself to work and finding kindness somewhere in your bones for your coworker that drives you nuts. But you know they need love, and they need it from you. This victory looks like waking up and taking a breath in and out and thanking God for the gift of a new day. This victory looks like standing up for those who are being beaten down, especially when your voice is the minority voice. What's an Easter? Why are you weeping? It's the best cosmic joke on death ever played. What's an Easter? It's somewhere between laughing and crying. It's the mundane, everyday life. You may not be able to explain what's an Easter in your native language, or even in a new language you're trying out. What's an Easter? Take a look around you right now, because this is what Easter looks like. You and the people sitting around you and me, people around the world, spanning all space and time, we are recipients of love and grace that we did not have to earn, that we did not have to work for. Certainly, you and I have been brought to our knees in this life. We know what Good Friday feels like. Some of us live it a lot. And yet, here we are in the promise of resurrection. It's our death and resurrection story, because it's our death and resurrection life, given new life each and every day. It's enough to make you laugh or cry, isn't it? And we say together, thanks be to God. Amen.